Hi, my name is Moshe Kindler, and I'm the publisher of The Jewish Link.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Kratz. I'm editor of The Jewish Link.
And you're on The Jewish Link Pitch Meeting Podcast.
Moshe, I would like to introduce you today for the first time to a very exciting guest and a very sort of cool educational pioneer who I first met about 6 years ago, I think, when I wrote an article called something like Viral Video Star is Orthodox Education Pioneer.
I remember
his, Yeah, his name is Rabbi Menachem Bambach. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Rabbi, welcome.
Moshe, my honor.
Moshe is really very interested in all that you have done and all that you are doing. We're so interested in the wide array of educational initiatives that you have geared toward your Haredi communities in a massive network called the Netzach Education Network. So please, I guess, start us off. Tell us about it. Tell us where you are. I know it's been a long road the last 6 years since we last spoke.
Well, thank you. And a great honor. I feel so pleasant to stay with you and speak, to be hosted in this amazing place. Everybody speaks about your podcast, you should know. It's very popular.
I think you mean more our... I don't mean to put down our podcast. I think you mean more our newspaper.
It's a newspaper, yeah.
The podcast is yeah. growing. We're in the second season.
Yes, we are in the second season. But no, but I appreciate
the story,
it.
Yeah, the story is that I'm not going to go over my original, the whole story, but I grew up in Mea Shearim. I didn't speak even Hebrew until the age of 20, and in English, nothing. And I figure out I need to do something with my future. I know exactly what is mean poverty and ignorance. Okay, So no one can tell me about that. And from one end, I really appreciate my community. I think there are great values and great things that I would like to preserve in the community. And at the same time, I understood that if our community is not going to be a part of Israeli society, so it's going to be bad for ourselves and also for Israel. And as you know, just this morning, we know there are 1,300,000 people in the Haredi community. It's about 12% from Israeli society and 15% from Israel population.
I mean, if you put aside
the Arabs.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi, can I just interrupt you? One of the things I've always been fascinated is you grew up in Mea Shearim, you grew up in the Haredi community. There are many smart guys in the Haredi community, and many people who are very intelligent. What made you, what was the moment or series of moments that kind of made you realize this? Or were you already, or was it a little bit later than the age of 20?
I can tell you that I have a very nice story. My grandmother, she's a Holocaust survivor, and when she came to Israel, she was a part in the kibbutz Shomer HaTzair. And one day she went with the whole group from Shomer HaTzair to Mea Shearim, and she remembered that she has a uncle who lives in Mea Shearim. So she asked people all over, "Do you know where Davidovich lives?" And someone said, "Yes, over there, exactly." And she came, and they was fascinated to see her. They didn't know if she's alive or not. And then the uncle said, "You're going to stay with us."
So
Hashomer HaTzair loses one, they get some Mea Shearim.
So she never left Mea Shearim. She got lost in Mea Shearim.
She didn't go back on the bus that day.
I feel, I'm so proud that I grew up in a place, I met great people, and serious Jewish heritage. But at the same time, we understood it's not a kind of Israel we can really embrace. People who are live in those days isolated, not a part of Israel, I think they're damaging dramatically the future of Israel, the resilience of Israel. And the day, so my grandmother, when I was a child, she said to my mother, "Be careful on me, Menachem is a little shagetz." So nothing happened too dramatic. I mean, I just want to say, since I remember myself, I was very open-minded. But one day when I become a counselor for Russian immigrants, came to me a young child and said, "Can you do me a favor? I need to do some homework in English," and I didn't know English. And he saw on my face my embarrassment, so he said, "I know English is quite hard. Can you help me do some homework in math?" And I didn't know. It was a very terrible moment and experience. Just imagine.
That a young kid knew more than you at 20.
I was 20 and he's 11, and I don't know to. For basic, he didn't ask for the craziest equations. I mean, and then I went to my, I complete all the gaps. I work for IAD. I have a second degree in Hebrew University in public policy. I was involved in many initiatives to integrate Haredi in Israeli society. This is my main mission, but I really believe the best way to make it happen is via education. And when I start in Hebrew University with the Mechina, I realize it's a good idea, but this is not exactly what Israel needs. Israel needs people in the age of one and two and three to be normal people, to be educated, to have Torah as well, Yirat Shamayim, loving Torah, but at the same time to be a part of the normal world. You can be a lawyer, a doctor. I don't need to tell you, you have the best examples all over here.
Right.
People who are can be everything. You know, I give a speech the last year in Rafael. Rafael is the famous place where all the missiles in Israel is designed, and
so it's a defense contractor. Yeah,
so I give the annual speech there in Hebrew, and the CEO came to me and asked me, "What's your dream?" And I said, "My dream is the next CEO is going to be my graduate, but he's going to come with the Talmud in his hands." This is a picture. I'm just thinking, and if you ask me, it's already happens. I can tell you many crazy stories about some of my graduates are involved in so many areas, and I have a lot of I'm satisfied about this.
And they're going to places, your graduates are Netzach, so they're going to places like Machon Lev or then are they able to go to Technion or other places or all
over?
Can you start with also the age groups where you're starting and the numbers now, the current
so
stats?
I started for 10 years ago with the Hasidic community in Beitar Elite. As I mentioned also in your article for many years ago, it was not easy. It was a lot of oppositions and from the community.
But there's still opposition, no?
Still, but it's different because now I have much more power. Mm. Because when I start, I had only 14 boys. They're the only criteria to accept those kids, as I just checked if they are breeding. I didn't check if any cognitive abilities.
Right.
Just to make it happen.
If they can read in what language?
I didn't check nothing. Anything.
Oh, okay.
If you are breathing.
Oh, breathing.
Yeah.
I thought you said reading.
No, breathing.
Okay,
breathing,
sorry. Okay.
If you are breathing, okay. It's my fault.
Wow, no,
it's
my no
English.
Problem. No.
And yes, I can tell you that when I start, so you feel you are isolated. You don't know, you cannot anticipate how your success is going to be, but you know you have to start your journey. And now we have 16 schools in Israel, elementary schools, high school, boys' school, girls' school. We have post-high schools.
Mm.
We have post-high schools that nursing school, very successful nursing school.
Girls or for
girls. Mm-hmm. And we have for boys a pre-academic program to become a physician.
A mechina for Haredi physicians.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
Doctors or like
doctors.
Can I just tell you a quick story? Turo started a physician assistant program many years ago in the 70s. They originally thought it would be for Hasidim, but it turned out the Hasidim didn't have the academic background. So it ended up not being, but that was the original goal. But I'm just saying that. So have they graduated from that program yet or not yet?
But now we have the first graduate from this program, and now they need to be accepted to one of the of Tel Aviv or university. I will let you know the numbers,
school.
But we have great results. Everybody
that's
speaks
great.
About, and that's the best way. So if you ask me about the oppositions, I am telling you now I have so many people with us, and so many people even they don't officially declare. And that they're with us, but they really empathy and admire the fact that people has the courage to choose the future for their kids. It's
so
amazing.
So the primary goal of all of the Netzach education programs is to create reading, writing abilities, skills in order to have a career, in order to have a parnasa, or is it also does it also allow for a kind of student to have a dual curriculum with Limude Kodesh as well? Or is it a combination?
I really believe that the combination is a part of the Kodesh world. It's not something separate. You have to be Kodesh as well, and as secular studies, as science. It's not secular, it's general studies.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe to become, to be a normal Jew that Mekadeshem Shamayim, you have to be oriented Jew. I mean, normal, you know, you are part of this, those kinds of community. I was very inspired in my life from Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha. He was one of my greatest characters in my life. I met him personally and we talked sometimes. And I really believe this is the best way to make, and you know what? It's not to change the community, to preserve the community. Right now, we have 10% of the community who are dropping out. Mm. And I'm saying the new generation, between zero and 18, we have 56% from the community. It's very young community, very young generation. And just thinking how they're growing, doubling themselves, it's 7.2 in every family, kids. Interesting, today it was published in Machon Charedi from Eli Pelle. He showed that 5.2 is in the Sephardi community, 6.3 or 4 in the Lithuanian community, and 7.2 in the Hasidic community.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Hasidim really have the highest birth rates,
more than the Lithuanian, and more than, it's interesting, yeah. I didn't know about that. Yes, I believe that those people, if they're going to have better anchors in their life, they can choose their life and also be a part, love Israel, and with solidarity. The idea of the Memorial Day, it was very simple.
Right.
How you can educate those kids if they're not a part? They have no idea what's going on in Israel.
Right. This was just to, sorry to interrupt. I want you to say this exact thing, but this was what I saw 6 years ago. It was a video of Rabbi Bombach in a classroom with 20 students or something, boys, saying, today is Yom HaZikaron, who knows what it is? And they were like...
The video went viral, I think.
Yeah, that was... And this explanation that you provided nowadays, maybe now, could you tell me? Also, how was Yom HaZikaron this week in your community, in the same kind of classrooms that you were in then?
First of all, this year, some of my graduates, I have now more than 12 graduates in Gaza. First of all, okay? Just a proportion to understand what
safe.
We are doing.
Yeah.
We don't need to remember.
Just
we are part of it, okay? Not everyone is going, but there are a lot, very nice percentage. And I think I can share with you more my experience with the army. I have great talks with all people in the army about their attitude, about their fear, from the Haredi community. It's not just bilingual. It's ambivalent inside the army about the Haredim, and it's an issue we can talk about. But the last Memorial Day, many of my graduates, they came to the school. Some of them came with uniform. I can show you the picture. And they said, the most powerful memory that I have in the Memorial Days is from the school. And we were going to come back again and again and again. It's very emotional in the school. I made it very, it's touching. It designed their attitude toward Israeli society. So... And something very nice happened. When I start, you cannot imagine how many people in the community said, you are crazy, you're disconnected.
Right.
You don't understand what you are doing. You are... And the last Memorial Day, it was 5 or 6 ceremonies in many, many places, in Jerusalem, in Beit Shemesh, in many communities. And some of the head of Mir Yeshiva, of the Meshgichim, Rabbi Ezrahi, he came and join a huge event of Netzach Yehuda. This is amazing. And this would never happen if someone would not start. I'm happy that I started this journey, but you have to jump in. That's the idea. So much fear, the stagnation is terrible. I mean, and more the young generation understand it. So that's why I'm saying, if you provide them new tools, new practice, how to deal with the new world, it's going to really influence their life and also change many, many people in the community.
You make it sound so easy, by the way.
And also, you're saying before the Netzach network started, Yom HaZikaron, and in fact, probably the entire fight, the creation of the State of Israel, was not discussed in Haredi schools.
at all.
Basically, you're living in a place where the history is not known.
Absolutely. Mm. I want to tell you something more terrible. I'm not sure if it's the right thing to say. You cannot imagine how many people in Israel, in our community, they don't know the warriors exist. I'm telling you. Some people, not everyone. And this is, just thinking about that, it's so painful. People live in a different country, in a different place. They go to the same grocery, they buy the same fruit. And this is very, very sad. This is very sad. I'm saying it, I even tear some of my eyes because I love so much Israel and I think about the future of Israel. So we know about the 10% modern Haredim and the 30% of the Haredim with the modern touch and the 50% who are Haredim that the majority of silent, the silent of majority.
Silent majority.
And 10% are very extreme Haredim. So if you were speaking about those 60%, they're not a part of our mission. We're not going to change. We're going to change. We're going to influence them. It's going to take time, but they're going to stay there. And I think our main focus needs to be about those 40 normal percent. We have many stories. We can show many, many great signs that things changing. People change their attitude. People feel much more courage. So this is the hope. What I feel and I believe that this is what gonna narrow down the problem from all the story from Haredim in Israel.
Do you find that there are certain groups among the Haredim that you're working? Are you doing okay with the Hasidim at all?
All over. Lithuanian, I start with the Hasidim. I have Hasidic schools. This is the first Hasidic school ever officially combined secular studies. But I'm working with all Israel. The modern Haredim and the conservative with the modern touch.
I would imagine that the Sephardim are a little bit easier because there was no sense of Haredi Sephardim until it's a modern phenomenon.
Yes, but my main
mission... Or they're more extreme maybe now. I don't know.
I mean, the main mission is to go into the normal mainstream. I mean, I'm not going to edges, to communities. And as you know, even the Sephardi community, they try to adopt the Lithuanian narrative in Israel. Mm-hmm. They try to be like them in some ways. So I'm not sure. We can see good things, but also you can see some regressions in many areas in those communities. So yes, but we have some schools. If you feed the school, it's a Sephardi, Lithuanian. Hasidim has their own schools because of their own customs and behaviors. But we have some great, one of our schools in Jerusalem is Nishmat HaTorah. Nishmat HaTorah, it become the most popular school in Jerusalem, a Lithuanian.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable. I started with six boys for 6 years ago.
This is a high school?
High school, a Lithuanian school, very special in Givat Shaul. Mm-hmm. And if you're Sephardi or Lithuanian, it doesn't matter. If you fit the system, you are part of it. This is a part to
what
recover.
Worked. What made recover. It so popular? Why is it so popular?
Well, it's a popular, great staff. Very, the Lithuanian yeshivot, they focus just in Torah studying and they neglect everything. Nothing is important. Just sitting. And I think so many people lost their life in those yeshivot. And when you have a Rosh Yeshiva who see you, And also they have many, many informal activities. We have life skills. It's different. The future skill we know about creativity, about critical thinking, about communication, cooperation, those kinds of things. It's a new language in our community. We put social, emotional learnings in yeshivot. So this is what makes the yeshiva very powerful. People love those yeshivot, so it becomes like, wow.
So I understand, so the Lithuanian minhagim and way of Torah learning is still taught, but it's added to classes in communication, critical thinking. So you have basically schools within an already existing Minhag networks. Is there other than Lithuanian, you said Sephardim?
And I mean, the Sephardim and the Lithuanian is together.
Oh, they're together.
Okay. Beside now, we're going to start a new only Sephardic school in Chulon.
Okay.
Because it was a demand. And I think it's could be great, B'zat Hashem.
And these kids are coming from homes that don't have iPhones. They don't have
the majority.
They're not modern at all.
I
want
to tell you, don't buy stories about the Haredi community.
Okay,
it depends.
Well, how would they know about the
40%? I'm telling you the exact numbers. Okay. Exact, not be'erech, not almost. I'm telling you. 40% as now WhatsApp, okay?
WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So WhatsApp is very
popular.
WhatsApp is the most popular.
But it's social media.
It's
really social media.
That's what.
Yeah.
69% has officially access to the internet. Uh-huh. In the Corona time,
yeah,
we start the first online school for Haredim.
Oh.
We said, how are you going to sit? We're going to teach the kids via the phone.
Right.
It's impossible. You have 7 children in every.
Right. No, they don't have 7 words.
I know some rabbi who called himself and made himself like asking questions. It sounds like very natural. And people believe that it's not. Even in the Zoom was quite hard. So just imagine.
Certainly.
So we start, and people said, how are you going to start this project if you need the Haredi, should have access to the internet? And then I figure out that 69% has access to the internet.
They have access already.
So I said 70%, it's enough to make it.
Mm-hmm. And you're right.
You know how many people we have in this site?
How many?
35,000 people. It's English, math, science. We have now Amiram test. Amiram test, if you want to be a part of the higher education university, you have to have Amiram test.
Mm-hmm.
We prepare. And we have many, many projects. Mm. And it's become very a special and unique site. And you can see even regularly Bechorei Yeshiva, they will never come to our schools.
But they'll go online.
They go online. It's amazing. So if you ask change, this is a good sign.
You mentioned Rav Aaron Lichtenstein before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a tough question. So, you know, Rav Aaron was known for literature, English literature.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but that's not a derech you're going in, meaning like that's, you know, you're really focused on things like civics, life skills, the core, like liberal arts, you're going to stay away from, because that would get you in trouble.
Parnassa-related profession.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, where Rabbi Lichtenstein, he taught us about complexity, how to live in a complex world, and not to take sides, you know. So this is exactly, you understand from where you are coming and what's the need and which kind of education you need to provide. And the combination is enough tough. It's complicated. It's not easy. Sometimes, you know, even myself, I have a daughter, she's completely secular. It's not always easy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that my graduates, that they get the idea of to being Haredi Israeli, they are phenomenal. It's amazing to talk to them, to speak to them, and to see what they're doing and what their approach. I have now some graduates in Shmone Matayim.
Shmone Matayim. 8200, that's the Israeli NSA.
Oh.
Let's see.
Unbelievable.
Right.
I will tell you, I give always some training in the Shabak. How do you say?
Shin Bet. FBI, Shin Bet.
And the last week I gave a lecture for very a special group there, and about leadership and change, and I met one of my graduates.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
I said, wow.
That's great.
This is Messiah is going to
say. Well, you better keep track of your graduates, because you're gonna need your graduates, aren't you?
Absolutely.
So they're going to need to be your... I actually think... Elizabeth may not be as sensitive to it, but what you just told me about the fact that your yeshiva is so popular is, to me, that's how you're going to succeed. Meaning not Menachem Bambach being a principal.
Absolutely.
If you have a reputation of being the best yeshiva, Beitzei yeshiva, then you're able to start other yeshiva based on that framework. Like you really, and it's it, I trust you. I mean, you tell me that it's the most popular. If it really is that popular.
In Jerusalem, yes, absolutely.
Jerusalem's where you need to be. Okay, then next you need to go to Bnei Brak, I'm guessing, correct?
We're going to start this year in Ramat Gan for Bnei Brak. Because in Bnei Brak, they don't let us to start a yeshiva like this. But we're going to start. We have already.
But how many students are in the online from Bnei Brak? We
have numbers, yeah. Okay. We have numbers. I don't remember.
Of the idea of being a force multiplier.
Yeah.
Of if you have one school, you have 100 students. If you have two schools, 200. And then if you have graduates, if you have people who can go out and start their own schools who have been trained in this way, then you can multiply your influence. Mm-hmm. And that's great. Yeah. Also, we wanted to talk to you about what you're doing locally, what brings you to Teaneck and Englewood and New Jersey generally and New York. We understand you're going to Riverdale for Shabbat. So can you tell us about your local supporters here? And you could feel free to shout them out. Maybe they will share your podcast.
You don't have to say much. They give to you. It's okay. But and if they don't want to be named, that's fine too. You actually made a comment before I'd like you to address. Is you're getting support mostly from the more modern community and not the Haredi community. I'm actually a bit upset at you because I think that the next step for you is to actually to get support from the Haredi American community. But that's my challenge to you. Sorry.
Please help me. I will be gratitude about this. Yes, I'm very blessed. I'm a Jew. I live in Israel, and I generate a new generation for education for the future of Israel. And also, the government gave us 80% for needs income. I mean, also it's together with the tuition mm-hmm. from their parents, but at the same time I need to raise 20% each year, and mainly not just for ongoing investment, just to create new schools, because after three years a school is fully covered. Mm. Unbelievable. Oh. That is amazing. So if someone wants to invest, he should know he can put once his money, and after 3 years it's fully covered.
Give us a sense of a number, like, so, because people do
to build a high school, it's $1 million. That's I have
you,
someone.
Do you need $1 million? The government will help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the government. And after I finish the school, after 3 years, I have the right numbers. I have everything. It becomes, and I have the whole numbers of the kids that we need. It's almost fully covered. I will always invest more for sale mm-hmm. and for great things, but for the system is sustainable for themselves, and this is amazing. Because sometimes people have some fear: how much I need to pay? No, just one time, and it's your school. That's amazing. I have some people who made it already, and it's fascinating. And you know, it's what is amazing. It's not about the Haredi; it's about Israel. So you ask me why the modern Orthodox people they worry so much about the future of Israel in all terms, about religious terms, and about it. So they feel the best way to make the change is via education. So why this is the population, I feel they understand. We don't need to explain too much. When they came to the school, they see everything in one glimpse. And also, you will not believe, even secular Jews in America, they love so much what we are doing. Yeah. They really appreciate it. And one very special guy in New York, he told me once, if someone asking what you do and he will understand, he will, so everybody will realize it's about the resilience of Israel. It's not, you're doing via your community, but the point is to make Israel much more stronger in the coming years. I will tell you more. You know Micha Goodman.
Yeah.
I'm very close friend of Micha.
Micha Goodman. He's a writer, commentator.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I said, Micha, I'm going to go to the New York now. Everybody is, his attention is about the war. You know, you come for education, ta-da-la-da. It's not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the timing may seem off,
Say for everyone that you are the opportunity a day after.
Mm.
And that's your secret. People should not forget that the day after, you are the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. It makes sense. it sounds better than what Israel. Everyone's worried about Israel's post-Gaza, post-war strategy.
Exactly.
You have a strategy.
So. Exactly.
And what I like, I think, also about your approach is that you're speaking from within your own community, and you're not pushing your students outside their communities. only for maybe Parnassa and for opportunities in terms of, you know, shin bet jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
But like the they keep their core identity. They keep who they are and they keep their history. They just add the ability to, you know, live above the poverty line and to have, you know, a variety of different sorts of, I think, awareness of the state where they live. And it's different from the, like in the U.S., particularly in Brooklyn and Manhattan, New York State, there's a lot of like off the derech former Haredi educators who are fighting to educate Haredim. But it's very tinged with sadness and anger, and it's not the what you're presenting, which is joy, opportunity.
I wanna strengthen what you're saying. Yeah. I love the community. I come with loyalty, with love, with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
When I see young kids demonstrating, they don't know about what. So it's you have the compassion for them. Well, I want to say that if you want any leadership, any kinds of leadership, and any leader, if he wants to make a real change, he needs to come with love. Mm-hmm. If you hate or you're against, you never, you cannot convince people. So it's complicated. I have many, and you know, I have the privilege to criticize my community because I grew up there. Why should I criticize other communities? I don't know. I never grew up there. So it comes with film love, and I think people feel, I have to say, I know the only change will come bottom up. It's not going to come from the rabbis, unfortunately. But I can share with you that I spoke sometimes with some rabbis, and they understand what I'm doing exactly.
Because they know what's going on.
Yeah, but they don't have the courage. They also very... You know, they're very
conflicted.
Conflicted about. And you know, some of the rabbis told me, a famous one, he told me, he said, to take a conservative community into change, it could generate a chaos. And I'm afraid to be the guy to do so. Because, I can understand. I have some empathy of what he said. So we need people. We need people bottom up to change. To, you know, in Beit Shemesh now, the first time we have a Haredi party that does not belong to not the Degel Torah, not Agudat Israel, just our own party.
Beit Shemesh.
And they have, we have a lot. The Yom HaZikaron memorial comes from those parties.
Is it
it's amazing.
I did hear about this. I heard about this part. So that, yeah, no, that's there's some Anglos involved in a little bit behind that.
Yeah, also Anglos. Yeah.
So tell us about since the war is on everyone's mind, tell us about your students, some of whom are serving in Gaza, and the view of your students toward the military serving.
I would say something like that two great projects happened after the Holocaust, the Medinat Israel and the Haredi community. It's a great project. Everybody, you understand, in terms of starting with very few community, very few people, and become such a major impact in Israel. Now, and everybody was developed by themselves. Now it's a time to merge between them. I think this is the greatest mission, to make them one piece.
To merge the Haredi community.
In Israel.
And Israel.
And Israel.
Even though the Haredi community only succeeded in many ways because of the state of Israel.
But I think things change. If you're going to continue saying again and again the same, you're going to lose a lot of people. And I love, I just mentioned today also by the test trimal. You know test trimal?
Test trimal.
Test trimal. Yeah, trimal.
A test.
A test.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You want to, yeah. If someone, let's say, is invited for Shabbat in a different city and he forget his trimal, if he's going Friday night to the shul or not, 90% will not go to the shul.
Ooh.
Because you forget your trimal. And it's not pleasant what people are going to say. So that's mean the culture wins the theological, I mean, the religious. And this is one, the young generation understand that we speak too much about not what's going inside, more about outside. And it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. The Minhagim are so powerful.
Yeah, it's Torah. Not even in some ways, Minhagim is Torah. Yeah. But Shtreimel, everybody understand, it's nothing about God.
Right.
It's just, you know, just a cuss.
I often, when I'm in the car, I listen to the Or Sameach podcast by Rabbi Breidowitz. Do you know him? Or Sameach is an American yeshiva for Balei Tshuva, basically men.
Yeah.
And it's great. And they publish his Q&A. He is also like a former lawyer and rabbi from Baltimore. He's able to sit and speak to a variety of different people, from around the world who come to, Anglos basically, who come to his yeshiva. And oftentimes they ask him, like, how can I be a Balei Tshuva, and what should my minhagim be, and what should I do, and where should I go? And he's like, take what you learn here, and also take what you learned in your communities at home. And like, if you grew up in Topeka, Kansas, or South Dakota. He said he was looking at a student, I think, who's from South Dakota, which has like no Jews, like zero Jews. And he's saying, take that and share. And there, he was sharing how Rabbi Nassim Zvi Finkel, who passed away, he went to a modern Orthodox high school. He was from the Mir, but his family was from the Mir. But he talked about basketball to the kids who came in, and the beauty of a jump shot, and he was able to sort of speak to worlds, and that's we need more people like this, it's so powerful, it's so good. It also reminds me your story about your grandmother finding an uncle in Mea Shearim. It's so good. I don't think I heard that one from you before, and it reminds me of do you remember when Rabbi Lau, the older, the father, first arrived in Israel as a child? It must have been around the same time as your grandmother. Yeah. He showed up there, and he had one brother who had to find him, and it was like impossible. And they interviewed him at the beginning. Who's your father? Who's your uncle? Who? And he got all the answers right, but he didn't recognize even the people as who were his. It was his brother, because he was a child when they left. He was 8 when he arrived. He was the same age as Elie Wiesel, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, but this one interaction of your grandmother coming to Mea Shearim to meet her uncle completely changed the course of Mea Shearim. Not or all Haredim. It's very interesting. Same with Rabbi Lau. Rabbi Lau had this crazy story about a man who asked him if he said, did you see the smoke in Auschwitz? Did you see the smoke rising from the ovens? And Rabbi Lau, or then little whatever is it,
Yisrael Meir.
Little Yisrael Meir said, yes, I saw it. And he's like, did you see the neshamot, the neshamas coming out also? And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean. I don't even know the word. It's like this the journey that our world has made from the Holocaust to modern Israel is amazing.
Yeah.
And these small interactions are like tell the story. Yeah. You know, they tell, they're part of us, and we should use them. Yeah. We should use who we are.
Yeah.
You know, I
never heard that idea of merging the two great projects post Shoah, the State of Israel and the Haredi community. You published an article a few weeks ago about civics, about which I read on your Times blog.
Yeah.
And I think we wanted to kind of close to end a little bit about that subject, and also what's going on in the Israeli government within the last 24 hours about what's going on in the Haredi community, what's the laws being passed. I mean, I'm sure you're a fan of them, but I'd like to hear your take on
yeah. I just want to share that everybody understand laws will never change communities. I mean, we need to get to the art. We need to make people much more obligated. And one thing that I was involved in, and very blessed, since October 7, I ran our campaign. The name was Haredim LeYisrael. Very, very simple. Haredim LeYisrael. To encourage Haredim to come to the second stage of the army. I get a permission with the army to run the campaign, and I worked with I was also enlisted in the army 70 days, so I was in the army, and now and the idea was to bring people between 25 and 45 to get trained, and then to if any job we can, you can get. Just and the idea I explained it for the for one of the chief persons in the in Tzava, in the army. The idea is to normalize the uniform in the Haredi community. Once you can see in each city Haredim are wearing the uniform, and they are very proud to be a part of it, and this is exactly what is going to influence the new generation, the second generation. And because if you're just waiting now, it's something dramatic what happened, it will not happen. I don't believe in laws. I believe in a tough job. I mean, to work hard, to encourage more, to make people much more. And we know, as I feel in the education world, when you start, it's going to be very tough. The problem of Netzach Yehuda, that when they start, they took always the edges, not the mainstream Haredim. So people think, it's not real Haredim, okay? The idea now is to real, to raise, elaborate the trust in the community. And that's mean we need to build units that really provide the all what the Haredim needs. And once this will happen, and it's gonna take time to show that you stay, you go in Haredi, I think the trust will go much, will become much more powerful, and we're going to see the great results and the movement. But also, we have to be honest. Some people in the army
don't want
they
them.
Don't like. I spoke with many people, and I met some people in the army. I mean, from the highest level, right? Some of them, they are ready for it, and they understand that's what you need. But some people still, they're afraid it's going to damage the culture, it's going to interfere the system. And you know what? For some reasons, they're absolutely right. I understand it. So I think the main effort is now to build special units. And I think the army is going into this direction. And this is what's going to bring more and more Haredim. Because you cannot imagine now, the first time since October 7, we find out a new population in the Haredi community. I thought about the modern Haredim, they are absolutely a part of this mission, and the conservative, the modern touch. Now we find out the people who care. People who care. It's amazing. People you would never, ever imagine them doing something for Israel, for soldiers. And now, so many great and enormous stories happened in the beginning of the war. I know personally so many, I would never ever imagine. And that's mean in the right moments, things will change. So your soul is stronger than everything, any culture. Mm-hmm. The soul, when the soul speaks, our spiritual world is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And when it comes those terrible moments, mm-hmm. everybody comes, everything comes out. So it's also something that creates some
change. So October 7th is creating change.
Yeah.
And you're not a fan of...
So I want to tell you, I ran a campaign. I raised money for this campaign to make it a huge campaign. And right now we have almost 1,000 people who become a part of this project. And it's nice because to get 2,000 people, we have 10,000 because not everyone is accepted. You cannot imagine how many people was frustrated by the fact they cannot be accepted. Because if you have any background, if you have a medical background or whatever,
okay, I understand.
But they want to serve.
The
people
exchange
want to serve.
Rate is 20%. I mean, it's a problem.
Like the amount of people who are accepted to serve versus those who
try to apply.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're saying that the law to have Haredim.
Yeah.
Have a different tracks, you know, like basically like almost national service, which
exactly.
I think is what's in the Knesset or going to be in the Knesset very soon.
Yeah.
So you're saying is you're not even, you don't think that that's effective?
No, it's not effective. It's not effective. It maybe in some ways there's no another choice. You have to do, but if you really understand the way the Haredim how the system, the mechanism are working, you understand we need to work out to make it happen, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to, I think in the coming years, we're going to see change. And you heard about some new yeshivot hesder for Haredim.
Yeah.
We have now, there is some new ideas. Maybe our Netzach is going to also start, maybe one of them. I think this is the best way. And you know what? You never know, but what I saw in this last months, and I met so many people, so many families, so many people who lost their siblings. I think who is ignoring the fact and still continue the same way as nothing happened, I can say something very crucial. Maybe he needs to consider himself, he belongs to the Jewish people. Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because in the end, we are Jews. That's what we are.
Yachad that's what we say, right? Yeah. That's the slogan. Is Yachad
Ninatzeach.
So that's the slogan. No.
So tell us where people can reach you and your website.
So we have a website, Netzach Israel Education Network.
Okay.
We have a lot of information in internet. We can find us. I just encourage people to reach out who thinks about the future of Israel, who wants to visit our schools. Mm. We have many schools. We have Beit Shemesh, Yerushalayim, Beit Dan. Now it's going to be also in Petach Tikva. And people who think and they want for their grandsons a normal Israel in the coming years, don't hesitate. Just reach out. Be a part. We need your help. We need people's help. We can't do it by ourselves. I'm a very little person with a huge dream, a huge vision. I sacrifice about something that I believe in. It comes from love to Israel. So I just ask for people, be a part of us, please.
Great. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Really
I
appreciate your much. Time. Thank you, and we hope to see you again soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Rabbi Bach. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us on the Jewish Link Pitch Meeting podcast. If you would like to participate or be in touch with us in any way, please email us at editor@jewishlink.news and follow us and find our podcast wherever you find podcasts.